Oh my, that song got so many chords, you know. Anyway, I'm looking for guitarists in case you're interested. I'd love you to help me. Praise the Lord. Friends, the word Advent means the coming of Christ. Some people have asked if there was a genuine need for the Advent. Unfortunately, modern man doesn't really see the need for Advent. Their reasoning is, why do we need a savior to save you from sin when all you need to do is just to educate people better? Since people are such good people at heart, if we just educate them of the dangers of something, naturally, they will choose to do what's right. You know what's the problem with that belief system, friends? Is that one doesn't really know what's right anymore. Isn't that true? Remember when you were young, how things that were a definite no-no. It's okay now. In the 1800s, before I get there, there is, friends, a genuine need for the Advent. Because the Bible says that everything about man, that is his character and his speech and his conduct and his nature, is inherently sinful. In the 1800s, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was once staying in an inn in the northern part of Italy, in a little town. And in the inn, in those days, the floor was dreadfully dirty. So Charles said, I had it in my mind to advise the lady of the place to scrub the floor. But then I perceived that it was made of mud and reflected that the more she would scrub it, the worse it would get. God also knew this, friends, that we could do nothing, that there was no improvement for the corrupt nature of man except through faith in Jesus Christ. No amount of education or sensitivity training will clean up a man's sinful nature. It had to be made right by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so, yes, there is a need for the Advent, the arrival of Christ, the coming of Christ. Why? I want to make a few points. The first one is the arrival of Christ gave us a living picture of who God is. Jesus' coming put a face on God. As Billy Graham said, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Paul also says in Colossians 1, verse 15 and 16, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. For by him all things were created, through him and for him. This is what we mean, friends, by incarnation. God came to earth wrapped in a human body. The God of heaven came to live among us that we might know what he's truly like. He came He became one of us. He came to teach us. He came to die on the cross for us, that we might be forgiven. He rose from the dead to help us know that we too can be raised. He promised that he will return so that the eternal hope would burn in our hearts. He opened the doors of heaven. Isn't that marvelous, friends? But just imagine what the world would be like. What the world will be like if God in the person of Jesus Christ had never come to earth. We would have had half a Bible. We would have never heard of the love of God. We would have no hope of his returning to earth. There would be no Christmas, no gift symbolic of God's greatest gift. You see, without Jesus, Mary Magdalene would have died in her sin. Peter, James, and John would have been nothing more than fishermen. Paul would never have been, he would never have been more than a cruel Pharisee, steeped in legalism, demanding affection from other people. The lame we read about in the Bible would have remained lame. The blind would have remained in their darkness. The deaf would have remained in their silence. We would have never heard the words of John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, Jesus says, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. Oh, John 10, verse 10, my favorite verse here. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You see, friends, without Jesus, we would never have had the high expressions of music that come from men like Johann Sebastian Bach or Ludwig von Beethoven. We would have never have heard Handel's Messiah. Harvard University and Yale University would not have existed because it was started as Christian institution for higher learning. Do you know that the founders of Harvard and Yale believed that the study of science was the study of the work of God? Isn't that something? Many hospitals would not have existed because they were begun by people who had hearts full of compassion for those who were ill. Why? Because they had had a personal experience with Jesus Christ and he changed their lives. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Do you know that our way of dating a history would be different? Because do you know that history is divided into things that occurred before Christ, we call it BC, and things that occurred after Christ, we call it AD, which means Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Isn't that something? Friends, if Jesus didn't come, there would be not one church in a town or city. And this is why we sing, joy to the Lord, to the world, the Lord has come. This is why we sing Emmanuel at Christmas. God is with us. He was with us 2,000 years ago, and he's with us now at this present moment to show us what God is like. We have, friends, a God who cared enough to come. We have a God who showed us what he was like. He showed us love and compassion to the outcasts of the world. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He taught us not to use the values of this world to determine our own worth. He taught us that our value to God is worth more than what anybody thinks of you. Our outcast, the outcast of society, you know, that seemed to be his speciality. the sinful and sick, the poor and the weak, were the people he pulled out of the trash, as it were, and transformed into a treasure. And because Jesus showed us what God is like, we want to be like him. We want to be like him. Praise the Lord. We have been transformed by his grace and renewed by his love. We extend grace to others because it has been so wonderfully extended to us. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We give because he has given to us. We live because he has given us eternal life. Because Jesus came, we know what God is like. Isn't that wonderful? Living love. Secondly, the arrival of Christ promises us new life because it means that our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgiven. Think of the moment of the worst thing, friend, you have ever done in your life. And then think what it would be like if Jesus did not come and you could not be forgiven of your sin. What would it be like? Your guilt would never be relieved. Your condemnation would always be hanging over your head. But he did come. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness has come to those who have received the grace that Jesus came to offer. We know that the freedom, we know the freedom that forgiveness brings. Again, we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive others because we have experienced the liberating forgiveness that Jesus came to give us. Didn't come. You know what, friends? We would only have laws to obey and commandments to follow. We would never have heard the wonderful words of the New Testament, John 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? If Jesus didn't come, we would be missing a savior. If Jesus didn't come, grace would not be a word in our vocabulary. If Jesus didn't come, we would only talk about justice, that people get what they deserve rather than mercy from God. If Jesus had never come, the woman caught in the act of adultery would never have heard the words in John 8, verse 11. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with every with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Praise the Lord, friends. Jesus came not only to clean our hearts, he came to change our hearts. We are being transformed, friends, into his character more and more with each passing day. Because we live with him, we are becoming like him. Praise the Lord. All of this is for one grand purpose, which leads me to my last point, Emma, I want to make. The arrival of Christ promises us a new life because it means we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven. Heaven was made possible by Jesus Christ. Think about what the world would be like if there was no hope of heaven. What would we say at the funeral of a loved one if there was no hope of heaven? What would we say, friends, if there was no hope beyond the grave? You know what the Bible says about that? 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We are be miserable people if we had no hope of heaven. We will be grumpy people. But we have hope of heaven, praise the Lord. If Jesus had not come, there would be no book of Revelation, no hope of the returning Savior. If Jesus had not come, there would be no hope of hearing these lovely words in Matthew 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Friends, if Jesus had not come, there would have not been any hope of the resurrection. There would be no eternal life, nothing to anticipate except the closing of the casket lid and the coldness of the grave. But, you are saying, but, oh man, but he did come. Amen. Jesus came. That's the advent. That's the arrival of Christ. That's why we're rejoicing. We live in joyful anticipation of what is yet to come. We live in the light of eternity. Praise the Lord. Friends, Christmas means that Christ has given us the gift of heaven. At this point, it is still wrapped, as it were. But the package has our name on it. Amen. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know what awaits us. It is ours. We would never have received the gift if it were not for Christmas. But we wait longingly for the day when we will enjoy the gift of heaven in all its unwrapped wonder. We remember what the hymn writer says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Why? When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. You see that? Isn't that wonderful, friends? All because of Christmas. Advent, the coming of Christ. In his book, Dare to Believe, Dan Bowman illustrates what it's like to know that something is yours even though you have to wait for it. You may have it in your hand, but are not able to enjoy it out of the box. He says that when he was young, he always did a lot of snooping at Christmas time, trying to find a gift, trying to find his gift, and figure out what was in the wrapped packages which his mom hid. One year he discovered a large package with his name on it, and he knew it was a set of golf clubs. He said, as I shook the box like this, it revealed the unmistakable sound of clubs. He says, when mom wasn't around, I would go and feel the package, shake it, and pretend that I was on the golf course. The point is, he says, I was already enjoying the pleasures of a future event, namely the unwrapping. It had my name on it. I knew what it was. It was his. But it would only be handed over to him on Christmas morning. And then he would see with his eyes what before he had only seen with his heart. As the Bible says in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 13. in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The day will come, friends, when we too will hear Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, for there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I want to conclude, friends, with a story. In 1962, missionaries named Don and Carol Richardson went to New Guinea to bring the good news of Christ to a group of people known as the Sawi people, S-A-W-I. The Sawi were head-hunting, cannibalistic tribe who used the skull of their victims as pillows. He wrote a book about his experience called Peace Child. He began his work among the Sawi with reading through the Gospel of Matthew. But to his dismay, when he got to the part that Judas betrayed Jesus, everybody started to cheer. Everybody was excited. He did not realize that their culture was one built around betrayal. The one who was the most devious was the one who had the most respect in their tribe. The missionaries searched for every possible means to explain the greatness of God's gift of truth and pure love to the people whose values were based on deceit. Then one day, he witnessed a solemn ceremony between two warring tribes. These two tribes hated each other. They would be at war with each other. He witnessed something very special. He said, one of the chiefs walked over to the other and handed him a child. In fact, it was the chief's own son. Their custom had been that peace would come between these two tribes only if the chief of one of the tribes would give his son over to the people of the other tribe. The child was called the Peace Child. The chief will place his own son in the hands of people who hated him and had been his enemies. It was the only way to bring peace between them. Richardson saw this as, in this act, the perfect bridge to help these people understand what God had done. God had given his peace child into the hands of a hostile world in order to bring the hostility between us to an end. And the angel said at his birth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Do you see the story, friends? This is the amazing mystery of God's gift. This is God's gift to you and I. Jesus Christ, the Peace Child. Okay? I love this verse, last verse. It's a beautiful passage. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Isn't that a wonderful verse, friends? Because of Jesus, because of Jesus' coming to this world, because Jesus was born, we know what God is like. We experience forgiveness of our sins, and we experience the transformation of our hearts and minds. We receive the promise of heaven and eternal life. What better gift could we ask for? Thank you, Jesus. At Christmas, we remember his birth. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, this world always offers us so many ways, Lord God. And there's always a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. But Lord, you gave us Jesus, who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You've come, Lord God, that we may see the Father. You have come, Lord, that we may know forgiveness. You have come, Lord, that we can have the hope of heaven. Thank you so much, Lord. May we remember this Christmas. May it be the best Christmas ever, where our very lives oozed with gratitude for your goodness towards us, Lord. Every soul screamed out worship, Lord, to you for loving us so dearly. You really loved us, Lord, that you gave us your only begotten Son. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you, Lord. I pray for all those, Lord, who haven't received you as their Lord and Savior yet. I pray they would use this opportunity to put a faith in you, Lord, during this Christmas time. Be with our families, Lord. There are family members that we would like to see serving you. Bless them during this time, Lord, that they would turn to you in faith. Bless us as we gather with our families and our friends. Bless those who are alone, Lord, that they would know that you are with them always. Be with all of us, Lord God, during this cold week. Keep us safe and well and warm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on.